So, thank you again for joining the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality for the formal comment session on permit number WQ0166336001 by Jeriton LLC. Today is May 30th. It is about 8:20 p.m., and as stated earlier, my name is Lori Garris. For the formal comment period, individuals may present oral statements when called upon in order of registration. There will be a 3-minute time limit to ensure that everyone can provide their statements. There will be no answers provided during this session. However, these comments will be addressed in the Executive Director's formal response to comments. As you come to the microphone, please first state your full name so that we can make sure we have your information correct. And I will call you up in groups of five so that you'll kind of get an idea of where you are in line. And I want to apologize if I state anyone's name incorrectly. I'll do my best. For the first group, we have Robert Dyer, Stephen Magyar, Wesley Tryon, Ashley Galladay, and let's start with that, and then Lindsay Hughes. So Robert Dyer, please state your first name.
My name is Robert Scott Dyer. I live in Twin Lakes Estates. I'm about midways down Lake Crest Drive. From a crow's fly across the field is about where your sewer plant's going to be at. So I'm pretty close. Compton Lake, I see it every morning going to work. My first question is, are these going to be open basins? Second question is, what are these basins going to be made out of? My third question is, what is the containment? My fourth question is, Rocket Utility, what do they have going with this? There's no representative from Rocket Utilities here. That's where the main water's going to come from to go to the 600 houses. So you got affluent water going in the house, influent water going in the houses, and then it's going to go to the system and affluent out, go through chlorinator, cleaning and all that, being reintroduced back in the environment. That's all over the place. I understand that, but it's the containment, the open basin, and that stuff like that. So I kind of just want them questions answered. And that's part of the environmental part of it, because if it gets away, I want to know what your plans are to keep it inside the sewer plant. And I know there's redundancies. I know there's going to be extra basins there probably, or that's the question I'm trying to get answered. It's what all the redundancies are actually there for, and which I'm planning on doing.
Great. Thank you. Next up, state your full name.
Stephen Magyar. Okay. All of us around here have experienced flooding, especially across 813 at multiple points of the year. The dam across the street is currently leaking some. Okay. All around us, the water piles up. You can't miss it. If you're going to pump another 162,000 gallons per day into here, you're probably going to go, I'm going to estimate, 3 flooding days to 25. Okay? Now, the containment of it would be a huge issue. The question I want answered is, we were told, we've been approached, and our properties have been marked. You cannot answer this. That they're going to take 10 feet off the road and take it another 10 feet for their machinery inside Twin Lakes. But now when these markers have been put on my property, they are much closer to my property than what was originally said, which means they're going to wipe out my fence, my trees, everything. I have submitted a bill back to these people if they destroy these things that I want them replaced, and have 2.5 weeks later received nothing in return. So one question there is, first off, is this wastewater going to be piped through Twin Lakes? We were told it was an additional water line. Now it apparently, since we have a 20-foot easement coming in, something much larger is coming in, because you don't need that much easement to put a 12-inch water line in. So, and also if you dump and filter this through Compton Lake, you know, current water conditions are perfect. When you filter this through, you're going to have aquatic life. You're going to have smell. I don't care what you say or do. Okay? And then, like I said, it currently floods already. It's flooded right now. The field, the gullies, everything. So when you pump this much more wastewater coming through, it's going to saturate the soil, leach out, and per day. I mean, we could be living in the swamp and the bayous because of what you're doing, you know. And according to you guys, you don't look at that at all. All you do is test the quality of the water or refer to someone else. So it just seems like this ridiculous shell game. Who can answer these questions then? No one here can. It's just deferred off. So,
Thank you. Next up, state your full name.
My name is Wesley Tryon. I'm at 2011 Blackchamp Road. And so in 2020, when the world went nuts, County Commissioner Kyle Butler called my wife, Sharon Tryon, and said, hey, they're wanting to put an open wastewater sewer treatment plant across the street from you and high-density housing. It was known as MUD 1, 2, and 3. Not knowing anything, we had 2 days to submit to our then state representative, Jake Elsie, and Brian Birdwell, our complaints. So we went door to door and filed over 120 different complaints. I'm here to talk to these citizens because we didn't get our verbiage right. Make sure you contact, I don't remember her name, I can't remember it. Make sure you get the hold of this woman and get your verbiage right. We wound up, my wife spent days trying to find an environmental law attorney. We found Eric Allman sitting up here on the front. I encourage y'all to get together and use him. So he was able to submit evidence. The TCEQ's made it clear today, flooding, they don't care about it. Environmental control, right? So he submitted pictures of bald eagles that were on our lake. We are on Lake Conservation Lake number 10 in the Chambers Creek Reservoir. He submitted those pictures. He submitted pictures of hundreds of Canadian geese that migrate through our lake every year. And these white cranes, along with all the aquatic life and all the fowl. And, you know, the flooding wasn't a concern, but what about the environment? Now, we won this case. We won. We filed our contested case hearing because we contacted him. He understands the verbiage that she says make sure you use properly with. And so, although we won on a technicality, on feasibility. I'm glad we won, but where was the environmental control? Nothing was said about my cattle drinking tainted water out of this lake from the so-called chemically treated wastewater. Nothing was said about my horses or my dogs or my grandchildren swimming in this lake along with my neighbors. It took 14 of us to band together quickly at the last minute to find and hire this attorney. So I'm encouraging everybody on Butcher Road to please contact him and fight this because these MUDs are out of control in Ellis County. The county's against it. The city's against it. I don't know why Texas. I know it's a lot of federal funding for the state of Texas, but I encourage everybody to fight it because you can beat the TCEQ if you unite. Remember, we the people, united we stand.
Thank you. Next up, state your full name.
Ashley Galladay. So my question is, the original application included over 200 acres, and since then, Geritin has sold off a lot of that to not be included in this wastewater treatment plant. So now it's been whittled down to, I believe, 10 acres that the treatment plant's going to be on. And so my question is, why would that not have to require an amendment or a new application entirely, because it's not what was on the original application? And then my other question is, I know you're not concerned about the flooding, but what happens if and when, what happens when there is standing water from the additional water and things like mosquitoes and West Nile and all of those things are affecting the quality of the water and the human life at that point, because now we're dealing with standing water, because we already have standing water with the existing drainage that's there. So what happens when there's more water that's just sitting there, and who's testing that? Thank you.
Thank you. Here you go. So next up, state your full name.
My name is Lindsay Hughes, and the points that I would like to put on record is that I believe there are failures within the application process that haven't been addressed in detail, specifically being that a topographical map is not sufficient within the application. Rather, a cartoon drawing does not show the depths of within the path of wastewater treatment. So I think a geological map is required in detail. I do think there are issues with the buffer zone in that the application lists a 100-foot buffer zone, which is insufficient. According to TCEQ, 500 feet is more likely to be appropriate, so 100 feet is drastically different than that, specifically the affected person number one, Dr. Badir. I think that there is a failure to show proper communication with both the city and the county, addressing issues of communication of using other methods than just this wastewater treatment plant. So have they sufficiently approached the city to find a resolution to see if the city can work with them, or have they approached the county to use current wastewater treatment plants that are within 1 mile, specifically being the Red Oak Wastewater Treatment Plant? I do think that even though flooding is not a primary concern of TCEQ, the proper pathway, and as Ashley mentioned, the repercussions of standing water, whether it be for crops or personal land, there's lots of septic systems in here, so what does that water flooding, the septic systems have, what can TCEQ do to protect the air, the quality of that? That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. So let me go ahead and call the next five people. We have Jana Payne, Jose and Christina Diaz, Bob and Carol Alston, Eric Allman, and Dove Prather. So Jana Payne, come on up. State your full name.
Okay, my name is Jana Payne. My name is Jana Payne, and I live directly behind the Lake Clopton Dam. In fact, my aunt and uncle, Pete and Catherine Clopton, owned the land there, and my dad built the lake and the dam in the mid-1950s. Now, I know you guys aren't concerned about flooding, but I think you need to take into effect the age of the dam. My property sits immediately behind the dam, and there is a crack in the dam. Currently, you know, we can count on evaporation during the hot summer months to bring levels of the lake down so that when we do get some of these flash floods, you know, we do have flooding, but we can kind of manage it a little bit better. If you're going to be putting 162,000 gallons of water each day into that lake, we're going to be keeping the lake full. What are we going to be doing about flooding? What's going to happen when that, you know, extra water that comes in from, you know, a hurricane, a 10-inch flood, you know, sits there and is, you know, exerting more and more pressure constantly on that dam? The community of Rocket is immediately below the dam. So I think you need to, like, be thinking about doing some sort of mechanical study and looking at that dam. It's over 60 years old. It's got a crack in it. It leaks into my lake, my property. So, you know, you need to put some boots on the ground and do a little bit of work, I think. My second concern is my water well that is immediately behind the dam, within 100 yards of the actual lake. So we all know that you have accidental discharges of untreated wastewater. So I want to know what you can do to guarantee me that my water well is not going to be contaminated in the event of an accidental untreated wastewater discharge. Thank you.
Thank you. I am holding up the 1 minute sign. That doesn't mean you have to stop. You still have that whole minute. So sorry for any confusion there. Go ahead, state your full name.
I'm Bob Alston. I'm a director of Citizens Against Ellis County MUDs. And we are opposed to this wastewater treatment plant. There's too much wastewater being dumped into Ellis County creeks, specifically Red Oak Creek. There are a lot of wastewater treatment plants either in or being planned that go into Red Oak Creek. We want to know why this development is not required to either go to Waxahachie or Red Oak and transport the sewer to their treatment plants and eliminate the need for this wastewater treatment plant. Thank you.
Thank you. State your full name.
I'm Carol Alston. My comment is more for the homeowners here in this room today. I encourage everyone to write letters to the State Senate Committee, which is meeting now, on this Committee on the Water, Agriculture, and Rural Affairs, about your out-of-scope concerns that will require legislative changes to the Texas Administrative Code for permitting MUDs and the Texas Water Code for permitting wastewater treatment plants. TCEQ is working within the constraints of the current codes, the laws of our state, and they're not working outside of they can't work outside of the codes. So we need everyone to write their concerns to the Senate committee so that the law can be changed, and so that we won't be going through this over and over again. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead. State your full name.
Eric Allman here on behalf of Citizens Against Butcher Road MUD, and this application is deficient for several reasons. First, we do want to point out that there's no water course present at the discharge point. It's inappropriate to issue a permit for a discharge at a location without a water course. The permit also does not meet the requirements of the TCEQ's regionalization requirements because it has not been shown the city of Waxahachie is unwilling or unable to provide service, nor has it been shown there are not other providers available. As you know, the TCEQ rules require certain factors to be considered in assuring the minimization of contamination of surface water and groundwater. One of those factors is the climatological context, environment that discharge is located within, and the flooding concerns that have been raised are relevant as to the way in which they will interact with the discharge to aggravate the impact and the extent of the area to which that contamination will occur. So while flooding is not something you regulate, it is something you need to consider, and no consideration has been given to that. As for the buffer zone, this is properly subject to a 500-foot buffer, at least for the flow splitter, which is acting as an unaerated equalization basin at this facility, which, again, is required to have a 500-foot buffer zone. In addition, it hasn't been shown that all buffer zones required for groundwater wells have been met in this case. And as discussed in our written comments, the water quality concerns do exist here. The Tier 1 and Tier 2 anti-degradation reviews are not sufficient. And it's also not been shown that the applicable total maximum daily loads have been met with regard to the discharge that will occur from this facility. For those reasons, this permit should be denied and those set forth in our written comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up. State your full name.
My name is Doug Prather, and I've been up here before. So I was requesting that a water quality chemical engineer study be conducted on the existing waters tributaries in Lake Compton, as well as the spill-off from Lake Compton as well, and have that chemical engineering study, water study, be published and made public prior to the approval of this request for a water treatment plant. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Jose and Christina Diaz, you're good? Okay. Okay, so next we have Spencer and Trenda Thompson. Spencer, okay. And then Jonathan Beckman, Nancy Adamson, Ricky and Sherry Dickens,
and Cindy Taylor Anderson. So state your full name and we'll go ahead.
My name is Spencer Thompson. I live off Butcher Road, Westminster. What's the name of our boat? Dorchester. So first, I would like to ask the TCEQ, what is the name of the creek that this is going to be emptying into? You sat out there earlier for an hour during the rainstorm. Okay. Okay, well, I'm just wondering, you know, because we name all the creeks. Okay, so it's kind of rhetorical because it's a ditch. It's not a creek. For the mud guys, you know, what is the stated purpose and intent of a municipal utility district? What was the mud set up to do, and how is it supposed to be used? And then, I just don't understand why, since the utilities are available, why the developer here would bypass the county and the city and not try to work in within their guidelines, because they don't have any problems okaying new developments and stuff. But they want this development to be inside the city or the county so that it can be watched over. And the other thing would be, how come you have to have your septic tanks if you're on the what is that called? Those sage septic tanks with the little aerobic. I'm lucky; I don't have one. So why do they have to have those evaluated three times a year, but on one of these mud sewer treatment plants, they only review it every 5 years, if I understand that right. I've read that or heard that. So that's just... Anyway, the other part is just a comment. First, I was excited to learn that Texas Commission on Environmental Quality would be overlooking this. And I'm thinking, great, you know, they're going to look at it and see, you know, where the water is going. It's going to cause erosion. It's going to cause flash floods in these areas, because they're going to be, this creek, quote creek, is going to be pre-saturated from the water just going through it even in August. And if we've got a hard rain, or just even a rain, that is already pre-saturated. So you're going to get, in that localized area and everything downstream, you're going to get a flash flood, pre-flash flood, because you've already saturated that earth that it's going through, even in August. So that's just a concern, too, I would think.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up?
Hi, I'm Jonathan Beckman. Some of my questions are in regards to air quality. I did some research and read a report from Lakeside Equipment Corporation. They found that within 1,640-foot radius of water treatment plants, you had a much higher account of strep throat in the air, aerosolized, I'm not saying that word right, in the homes within that radius. What can be done by y'all to investigate the air quality impacts of putting a waste treatment plant here? Also, as requested previously, if there's no water quality analysis, how will we know 5 years, 10 years from now if this treatment plant impacted our local water system without knowing the baseline of where we're at today? Also, there's been numerous reports of these types of facilities exploding across Texas, Kansas City, Chicago, and Missouri. What safety protocols are going to be put in place at this water treatment plant to prevent catastrophic failures. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. State your full name.
Nancy Adamson. In a previous meeting to this one, we were told that there are 40 lawyers that handle the problems of the current MUDs that are in the area. They do the inspections, and they're the ones that get the phone calls when there are problems. So I would like to know, if it takes 40 lawyers to take care of these problems, how often do we have problems with water treatment plants? What kinds of problems are we having, and how are they affecting the residents who are around them? Also, with so many new permits that are coming into Ellis County alone and then across Texas, what is the TECQ going to do to make sure that they have enough staff to be able to take care of problems when they arise in a sufficient, timely manner, and to also be able to do the inspections necessary to keep us safe? Next, on to the 162 gallons a day. Per the Texas Water Development Board and the Water Use of Texas Water Utilities, the average household uses 140 to 150 gallons a day. At 600 units, or 600 homes, 162 gallons a day is only 270 gallons per day per home. That's only enough for 1.5 people in that household. So who derived an 162,000 gallons a day? And how do we ensure that that's only what it is and that it doesn't go over that? Lastly, as I mentioned earlier, as an environmental entity that is here to protect us, determining whether this permit is going to get suggested or recommended to be approved or not, it is imperative that you also look at the air quality. So I do have a report for you from the microbiology. I'm not going to say it all, but it's all there. But it's a report basically on the bioaerosol and the dust that happens around a water treatment plant. So there are chemical hazards from the settling dust that go in the air. There is cytotoxicity hazards that build up in the lungs and the epithelial cells. There are respiratory issues causing infections. There are certain bacteria that increase the risk of stomach cancer. And there is also antibiotic resistance that builds up into people. And then lastly, it is also known in this study that a water treatment plant will attract rodents and insects. So what is going to be done to keep our residents safe from these kinds of things?
Thank you. I'll take those. Thank you. Next up, come on up. State your full name.
My name is Cindy Anderson, and I'm here speaking for my mom and dad and uncle that bought the land along with the Smiths. They own some of the property there along Clopton Lake. So it is... Clopton Lake is privately owned lake. So how can you just dump water into a lake that's privately owned? I know you're not concerned about the flooding, but it's very flooded. We can't use a boat ramp. We can't use the fishing dock. So there is a lot of flooding. But one of my main questions is, how can you just let water flow into a privately owned lake? Also concerned about the fish and the blue herons and the Canadian geese that come to nest there. The ducks, they come, nest, have their babies and all that. And fish, we fish. We eat the fish out of the lakes, and I think someone should check the water quality now, and you know, as a baseline, just to make sure there's no contamination. I'm really concerned about that, but that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, state your full name.
Hey, I'm Ricky Dickens. I live on Butcher Road, about a half a mile from this wastewater treatment plant that's going in.
Step up to the mic.
Couple of things. I only got 2 points. I won't take 3 minutes. But is the best available control technology being applied on this particular mud? That's my main question. The best available control technology, not 1970s technology from West Texas. Okay, and two, I would like to see the comment from this gentleman related to this has nothing to do with the mud that he made earlier. Okay, maybe y'all could address that in the reply as well.
Thank you. What about Sherry Dickens? Is Sherry Dickens speaking tonight? Come on up. State your full name.
My name is Sherry Dickens. I live at 1204 Butcher Road. I can see where the mud is going to be for my driveway. I've lived there for 33 years. It's my home. Do y'all not care? Do you not care that people live there? It's all about money. What if it was your home? What if it was your home? What if it was your kids? Just think about it.
Thank you. Next up, we have Martha Lawrence, Elton Fleck, Corey Ayers, Travis Smith, and Abdul Sabard. Okay, state your full name.
My name is Elton Fleck. I live on 1105 East Sharpshire Drive. My backyard is this property that they're talking about. The mud plant would probably be 500 foot from my backyard. I want to ask the question again about, whenever you're last in line, most of the questions have been presented to you guys, but I'll go back over some of them because Lindsay's talked about a lot of them. But y'all talk about water quality, but it would be air quality for me. So my question to you is there's no 6-foot privacy fence that's going to stop an odor from a pit. Now, I mean, I drive by Trinity River all the time, and there's a reason they say don't eat the fish out of the river. And the other question, I know it was just brought up, it was Lake Compton is a private lake, so how can they get a permit to dump on somebody else's land? And I want to ask you guys, would you put this in your backyard? This guy's got a $1 million home. Would you put it in your back of your $1 million home? That's my question. I want that one answered. And also, it was also brought up that he is selling off the property. It's not the full acreage anymore. So if he's going for this permit, he's going to try to crowd that 600 homes in less acreage than what he originally stated. So that 600 homes he just stated is going to be probably on 20 less acres. If he's got the other land up for sale now, I think. I can't keep up with everything. I try to look at everything, but I don't have the means to find out all the information. And not that I want to call this guy a liar, but it was hailing quarter-size hail today, so I don't think anybody was standing outside looking at a creek. And this is not a creek. This is not a creek. This is a dry runoff. I used to play golf back there on that back lot all the time, shooting my golf ball. So it's a dry runoff. So don't call it a creek. And the other question that was brought up is I have to pay or I get fined for my aerobic system 3 to 4 times a year or I get fined and they come out and find me. How can you just justify every 5-year checking this system? I mean, I was at your other meeting. I think I met you two gentlemen. And it was brought up, and it was said every 5 years. But if I request that you go measure the buffer zone to this man's million-dollar home because I don't think there's 150 foot there. And originally it was 500 foot, but now y'all are taking it down to 150 foot. So I don't think it's even 150 foot there. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Martha Lawrence. I live on 1144 Marie Drive off of Butcher Road. I've lived there over 30 years, and I have tried to drill a well there before. Now, my property has Austin clay on it. If anybody doesn't know what Austin clay is, it's a very hard clay, and that's why a lot of the water around here doesn't soak through. It just runs off. Now, I've seen water all over the properties. People keep buying the houses. They keep moving out of them because they have poor drainage. Now, I'd like to know if you're going to put the amount of sewage that you're going to be putting through in this treatment plant, what type of filters are you going to be having? Are they able to hold, to allow the flowing and separation of the chemicals to have the water quality that you don't know that we have as a baseline? And will the materials break down over time? How many times are your filters going to be changed? How many times are the materials that are plastics? How many times that the cement is going to be inspected? I'd like to know this, and if you're going to have a cover over it, to how are you going to control the methane that comes out of it? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, state your full name.
Travis Smith, 216 Pecan Street. I'm born and raised on Butcher Road, actually directly behind Miss Martha. I'm also on the Waxahachie City Council. There's a few issues with the application, one being that it's changed drastically, the other being that it was filed on April 28th of 2023. We're now down to 10.56 acres for this plant, the plant which also still has no frontage road at all, no access, unless you plan on demolishing the doctor's house behind me. On December 4th of 2023, so 8 months later, we voted 5-0 to deny a disannexation request of the 263.6 acres that was included in the original application. Again, the original as opposed to now. That land was annexed into the city in 2005. And the reasons for the disannexation was that the city failed to provide police and fire and emergency services. There was no option for solid waste collection, the operation or maintenance of wastewater services, the operation and maintenance of roads, streets, lighting, blah, 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 down to we get to we didn't maintain parks, playgrounds, or swimming pools, all of which are false. This land is actually surrounded on all sides by city-owned property. So again, the application is false. Another point that was made that I want to make very clear is that the gentleman here from the development group stated that he was watching the water run underneath Butcher Road. That's fantastic, but you know who installed that and maintained that? The city of Waxahachie, not this developer. So we're getting to that point. So you're watching the water run underneath Butcher, not over the top of it, during a heavy rain event, which that's great for us. We did a great job there, right? Okay, so now we're down to the tributary part. And this was actually just brought up by Miss Martha. So our soil is a clay all day long. I think it's called it's the Austin clay. It's called the Houston clay. That's great. Yeah, thank you. The deal with that, and any high school FFA member that competes in a CDE event for land judging will tell you that that soil, because of its depth and the slope of all of that land, is a Class 3 topsoil. Class 3 means that the water does not permeate quickly enough to grow crops on that land. What you have to do is terrace that land to hold the water up, right? And as soon as you terrace that land, that same high school student will then tell you that the next step is to create a vegetative channel of some kind to hold the runoff. That vegetative channel is what you all are considering to be a creek. Those aren't creeks. This is farmland that has been used for generations that you're now considering a tributary to be what was created for vegetative runoff, the channel on the terraced land. Once the land is no longer terraced, it's concreted, how can you, with any sort of confidence, state that runoff is going to filter out naturally? Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, go ahead and state your full name, doctor.
Hi, my name is Abdul Shakur Bader. By profession, I'm a doctor. I'm a surgeon. I work in Ennis. As far as my profession is concerned, it starts, we take an oath which says that, you know, we do no harm. That's the basis and premise of a physician. Now, I wanted to raise some points here, but before that, I wanted to ask one question, if it's not timed. How is this being recorded? I see all you four people writing it, but are we recording? Is it actually?
We are recording.
We're recording. Okay, sorry. Just my OCD. All right. So, yeah, we moved a few months ago from Illinois to this state, beautiful state of Texas. We saw greener pastures, you know, but they're probably, you know, going to be, you know, affected by toxic, you know, fumes. So my question, I'm going to reiterate the questions again. As far as the TCEQ is concerned, how many of, does TCEQ actually have any data as to how many people get affected because of this being in their backyard? I personally, I do want to put this on record. I share my property line with this proposed place. I live right next to it. I am within 20-foot gradient of this. All water treatment plants are known to generate hydrogen sulfide, carbon monoxide, chlorine, ammonia, methane, and almost all of these are heavier than air, and they flow downhill. If anybody here knows of Jacob and Natalie Dean from Odessa, Texas, on October 26, 2019, this is not related to water, but this couple actually died from hydrogen sulfide accident when the husband actually caught himself in a hydrogen sulfide leak. The wife, she pinged the location. She went to go find him. She went to just pick him up, and she died as well. Both their kids were out in their car. They almost got affected, but this was related to an oil field, but this is how dangerous hydrogen sulfide is. A hydrogen sulfide, it actually, you know, 1,000 parts per million can kill you. I'm talking about 1,000 parts per million. And every day, a water treatment plant can release 100 kilograms, which is almost 100, you know, million parts. Another question here is, you know, one of our gentlemen here actually also already did ask that, how many of people in TCEQ actually live in, you know, in these areas? Okay. And then, you know, there's people with mental health problems who, you know, who can get affected with this. There's no studies that we have actually seen where TCEQ, will they actually relocate me? Like, if I keep sending complaints, will TCEQ actually give me another house to live in so that, you know, I'm not affected by this? Are there any containment strategies for neighbors, especially for parents who have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, you know, especially with these catastrophic leaks that can happen. So I just end with that comments, and, you know, may God help us all.
Thank you. If you want to turn in those comments, you can too. But we have, I mean, if there's anything you didn't read on those. Okay, sir, come on up.
Hi, my name is Corey Ayers. I live in the Dorchester, so this is two streets over from me. I want to say that flooding impacts the environment, and I think that TSEC needs to consider that. We said this is not the matter for tonight, but I think that that's kind of skirting what they need to do. As an example, if the wastewater plus the watershed floods into the fields next to us, then it'll have more impacts on us because there's chemicals in those fields that will run into our yards. And if someone's septic system gets flooded, it's on them now. Say, well, your septic system flooded. You have to pay for that. The developers aren't going to pay for that. TSEC's not going to pay for that. The people who live here are going to pay for that. I also heard someone say tonight there's going to be no mud. I want to be clarified. Someone tell me, is that true? Is there not a mud here? Are we all mistaken? Because I heard that from someone. I don't remember who. I need to know, is that true, or is that just something you said? And is there any recourse for any damages that come from this to the developers? They're making money off of it. I understand that. We understand there's more housing coming. I have no problem with more housing coming, but this is the wrong way to do it. If you want to go in and do like everything around it, like the city approves or the county does, the way that we've been doing this, so that more houses can come in safely without flooding, without action, all these extra things, I'm for it. I understand people want to come here. It's a great place to be, and we want to keep it that way. And also, I need to know who we talk to about flooding. If it's not the place, someone's got to tell us. Someone has to tell us who you talk to, not just, well, there's someone who does it, and I'm not sure who. That's got to be part of this. TSEC can't ignore the environmental thing of flooding to all these houses. You're supposed to hear from representing us. We need to know who to talk to. I want to just say we recently moved into this house. There's people been here for 30 years. We moved in to be part of this community, part of this neighborhood, part of the way that it is, and we had no idea this was coming. This affects all of us. That's why it's emotional for us. And it's more than just the amount of water. It's the particulates in the water as well. It's not just the gallons. It's what's in it and where is it going. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have Clay Estes and then Sylvia Colson. We'll get these two people up and then I will offer a chance for anyone else. So Clay and then Sylvia. Okay, come on up and state your full name.
Clay Estes. I own the farm at Butcher Road and 813 to the east, 314 acres, and my grandfather bought it back in 1946. We farmed that land. We've always had a farm on it, and I'm concerned about the quality of the water that goes onto that farm. It's terraced in this drawing that was provided to us by the attorneys. You may have seen this, I don't know, but that is part of my farm, and the runoff on that part of the farm is about 180 feet below Lake Clopton. So I'm wondering how you're going to get water to run uphill. It's going to pool on the farm. It's going to cause damage to the farm, lower the value of the farm. I'm concerned about the crops, the quality of water with the crops. The pollutants to livestock who are grazing on it, human corn consumables. We also have a pond on it. It's stocked with game fish. We have waterfowl, nutria, and a beaver. I believe these are concerns every person who owns property who is on the water flow line. They're saying that the terraced land is a tributary. Travis Smith earlier spoke to that very eloquently. I can't compete. But it was, it is not a tributary. It is a terraced land designed to control water for crop consumption over drought times and prevent erosion. These areas are just going to pool and pool, and it's going to eventually take over the whole farm, and I'm afraid it's going to be unplowable, and we won't be able to raise any types of crops whatsoever. And I just wonder who gives the rights to freely dump on someone else's private property, and I don't think that's fair. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead. Next up.
Sylvia Colson, and for the record, since the initial runoff path is not a tributary, which has been pretty well established, who is it that establishes a proper tributary for water quality? Also, the flooding that impacts farmland and leaching into personal land is an environmental water quality issue. And what is your protection for the new resident planning to dig a well just adjacent to this proposed septic system, as you said, 150 feet away? Thank you.
Okay, at this time, that is everyone who has signed up. If you have not spoken but would like to speak formally, now is your chance. Anyone else? Come on up, and if you haven't filled out a registration form, please fill one out afterwards.
My name is Brenda Dyer, and I just have like one question, basically. So you're coming in with this water thing. Are y'all trying to take the septic tanks away from the people that are in the county and make us go on the water line? We don't want to.
Thank you. Sure.
And they're coming over, and I'm assuming this is all together because they're taking more of our land than they have the right to. That's our land, not y'all's land. You don't come and demand that you're going to take somebody's land and move it over. The water company is trying to do that, so I'm assuming this is all involved together. It's wrong.
Okay. Thank you. Have you filled out a registration?
No, I haven't.
Okay, fill one out afterwards. State your full name.
Carmela Haywood. I have grandchildren that live in this area that they're talking about putting this. I have a question. Now, when you do the water quality test and you're doing it on above ground and that water is somehow seeping down into the aquifer below, it seems to me that you would have to drill down and test the water in the aquifer to have any idea what the quality of water is going to get changed. If that meets a certain criteria, and you know what the quality of the water is in the aquifer, then you need to be doing that test at least once a month to know whether this stuff is leaking down inside through accidental spillage, through runoff, through flooding, getting into someone's well and contaminating the aquifer. The other part that I have a question is, what is the parts per million per whatever above what you say is what you're going to be your test line? That is going to be the line that says, this is okay. This is the water quality that's okay. How many parts per million is going to go up above that? What is your, where's your buffer? Because I know with almost everything, with air quality, you have a buffer. With food, you have a buffer. Oh, we only allow this much stuff in your food. What about the water? What is that number going to be that you allow into the water that you say, oh, this is a safe number? Not what the line is that you're going to keep it at that line, because it seems to me if you're going to keep it at that line, you would have to do testing on it almost every month to keep it at that line. Otherwise, how do you know in 5 years it could have went way above your number?
Thank you.
My name is Anna Mariam. I just have one question from TCEQ, that do they have any data of any wastewater plant where there is 100% no emission, nothing that has ever come out from the, like everything is pure and clean which it is emitting, and it is not causing any biohazard? Has there ever been a single plant like that? And if there is no plant like that, then why is even this hearing right now? It should have been straight away rejected. They cannot be, like, it cannot be built around, like if there is a house in front of a wastewater plant, then it should be straight away rejected. There is no question of even hearing right now.
Thank you. Just a second. Remember, if you have not filled out a registration form and you did come and speak, make sure you reach out to Christina. She has a green shirt on. Okay, go ahead.
My name is Sandra Brandon. I live in Northeast Meadows.
I have really just one question. I don't understand what the TCEQ's role is if the only thing they're going to do is look at the information provided by the guy who's asking for the permit without any independent type of follow-up. I mean, if you guys are just looking at what he's saying, he's putting in what is going to benefit him. You are not looking at it as an independent. You are rubber stamping, saying everything he says is the truth. I don't understand that. So what I need to understand exactly what your role is. If it's not to independently confirm what you're being presented. So that's it.
Thank you. Go ahead and state your full name.
Vicki Dillo, and I have filled out a registration form. Two things. When you indicated, and I may have misunderstood this, but when you indicated that the sewer treatment plants test their own water and send that into you, you are relying on them to send you accurate? Okay, you're negative in that. Okay, that was my question. The other thing was my concern is this a long-term plan? Is this something, will this particular entity, whatever it is, not being a MUD, if it's a private development, are they responsible for the maintenance of this, and for how long? Is it a 30-year, 50-year, as long as it's in place? Who is actually responsible long-term for the maintenance of the plant? Thank you.
Thank you. So if you've already spoken, I ask that you fill out a paper in the back if you've already spoken, because we've got to give everyone a chance. So I think, sir, you've already spoken. So fill out a paper. You can write it down. It counts the same. Where's Christina? I'll get Christina for you. Oh, she's waving to you. Okay, ma'am, go ahead.
Connie Bowen, and I would like to ask that you tell us how many of these that you have approved and how many of these you have denied. And I would also like it on record that the representatives of the person that wants to build this has stated that no MUD will be built on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. My name is Chris Galladay, and I'm just going to cut to the chase. When you fill out an application, you put down pertinent information. If that information is incorrect or it changes, that application should be denied and the process started over so that we know what they've changed and we're not getting surprises that we have to go and investigate. They should document it and reapply.
Thank you. Anybody else who has not spoken tonight who would like to speak? Okay, so thank you. Thank you for these thoughtful comments and these questions. And I want to let you know that although that the comment period is ending tonight, so if you have any written comments or you need to know how to e-comment, my staff in the back, Christine in the green shirt, can help you. If you have further questions after tonight, Pranjal is a great contact, and also we have another contact. I can give you their telephone number, too. So our environmental assistance and education staff can be reached at 1-800-687-4040 if you have any questions about the status of the application or inquiries about the permitting process. Yes, so if you're interested in either this permit application online or in the e-comments, you can Google TCEQ e-comments, and you put in this application, and that's how you do the e-comments. Or if you want to see about this application, you Google TCEQ CID for Commissioners Integrated Database. I can help you afterwards, or so can some of the staff. If you have already commented on this application, then you're on the mailing list. So you will get information when actions are taken on this on this permit application. So I want to thank you for being with us today. I want to thank Representative Harrison for sending his staff, our applicant staff, and our TCEQ staff for being here. And as noted, there's no final decision has been made on this application and will not be made tonight. Be sure to turn in any written statements you made tonight before the close of the meeting. The agency staff will review these formal comments that were provided during this meeting as well as through mail or fax or e-comments during the comment period before making a final decision. And as I stated, individuals on the mailing list will continue to receive information regarding this permit application. So this permit or this meeting is now finished, and feel free to email or telephone staff if you have any further questions. Thank you and good night.